Welcome to the Bible Insights podcast with your host, Val Waldick. We are studying the book of Revelation in this first series and following the outline found in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. John is told to write the things which you have seen, a reference to his vision of the risen Lord found in chapter 1, and the things which are, a reference to the church age, chapters 2 and 3, and the things which will take place after this. We find that in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. The Lord promises a special blessing to all who take the time to read, hear, and obey this vision he shared with John. Revelation 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and those who keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." How do we keep those things that are written in it? Simply by living in the light of the message, the imminent return of Jesus Christ, for the time is near. James 5 verse 8 tells us, "You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Titus 2:13, "Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ." The sixth letter is written to the church at Philadelphia, one of seven local churches in Asia, now Turkey. Its message is for all who read, not just for those few hundred Christians of the first century. God chose these seven churches to represent the entire church age. The order they are given in reflects the changing condition of the church as a whole down through the centuries. Revelation chapters 2 and 3 are an historical perspective of the entire church age. Although these seven churches reflect the ethos of the seven stages of church history to our present time, we must take note that all these types are found in every generation and in every individual Christian. The Philadelphian church represents and resembles the church period from AD 1730 to 1900 and onwards, right up to the present day. The Lord's instruction to John concerning the church of Philadelphia is found in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens." After looking closely at the previous churches, starting with the church at Ephesus, which started well but lost their first love, to the church at Sardis, who had a name for being alive but were spiritually dead in God's eyes, the church at Philadelphia makes a refreshing change. It had a surprising influence on the ancient world. Philadelphia remained an independent Christian city until the close of the 14th century, when it was conquered by the Turks. The name Philadelphia literally means brotherly love, and that was the ethos of this church and should be the ethos of our present-day faithful remnant who are serving the Lord in the end times with all its problems. The Lord identifies himself to this church as he who is holy, he who is true, and he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. The key of David is the key of authority, and he alone opens and shuts doors. Never try to open or shut doors of opportunity for yourself. Leave that to the Lord of the church, who holds the master plan for his creation and the part you and I play in it. The church age is one of great missionary endeavor, evangelism, ministry, spiritual gifts, and increased interest in the rapture and second coming of Christ to earth. Some of the works of this church age include the establishment of missions, schools, hospitals, printing of Bibles, Bible schools, evangelism, and much more. Names like William Carey of India, Adoniram Judson, David Livingston, C.T. Studd, Moody, Spurgeon, Whitfield Wesley, and a host of others in our present time come to mind. There's no condemnation for this church from the Lord, only commendation. And the Lord mentions five things that are well-pleasing to him about this church and its ministry during John's time and the entire church age to the present time. They are found in Revelation chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. Number 1, they are found working for the Lord regardless of the times. The Lord says to them, "I know your deeds. See, I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut." These may be difficult times for the genuine church of Jesus Christ, especially these last days when there's so much mocking and persecution. The Lord reminds faithful believers that no door is closed to the Holy Spirit. Every attempt to work for the Lord in these evil days is known and recognized by Him. Everything and anything we do for Him is appreciated and will have its reward. From giving someone a cup of cold water, visiting the sick and those in prison, bringing a word of encouragement, reaching out to others and showing brotherly love at every opportunity, the Lord says there's much work to be done for Him in this world. He opens the doors and He wants us to go through them. Secondly, the Lord points out that the Philadelphian church is not a powerful or rich church by any standards. Perhaps you feel a bit intimidated by going through doors the Lord opens. You prefer to keep a low profile and not get involved. But the Lord says, I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. He says to this church, I know you have a little strength. That is why the Lord sent the Holy Spirit to enable believers to live victoriously for Him, to witness and work under the powerful unction of the Holy Spirit. There is much work to do. Romans 12 verses 6 to 13 encourages us to do what we can with what we have received from the Lord. It reads like this, in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in a confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Those are some of the gifts the Lord has given to this little church. The Philadelphian church may have been a small group of believers with minority status and weak by human standards, but they made a huge impact in that first century when John delivered the Lord's letter to them. And their impact is still being felt in the current church age. The world has little regard for Philadelphian believers, but they are touching lives all over the world for God in the power of the Holy Spirit. Believer, are you full of the Holy Spirit? Without His anointing, you can achieve little of lasting value for Jesus. Seek the Lord daily for fresh oil of the Spirit. Thirdly, the Church of Philadelphia were committed to the Word of God, the Bible. The Lord said, I know your deeds. See, I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word. We are spiritual beings. We live in a body and we have a mind. The Bible says those who meditate on His word and live in the light of it will receive spiritual strength. Psalm 1 puts it this way. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the seat of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Psalm 1 verses 1 to 3. What is truth? And where can it be found? The Lord Jesus Christ said, your word is truth. John chapter 17 verse 17. We reject, misuse, neglect, and ignore the Bible to our great spiritual loss. May I encourage you to read God's word daily and meditate on its great truths. We will find everything we need to live in this life and the next contained in its pages. I sincerely recommend you read the Bible daily. This church was committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. The fourth thing the Lord commended about this church is that they were in a time of increasing false religions, false Christs, messiahs, false prophets, and they stood firmly for the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture alone and Christ alone is our banner. This is what Jesus said of himself. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's the only way to God the Father. He's the truth about God and the source of eternal life. All roads may lead to heaven, but he is the only door. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. The early church believed that with all their heart. They affirmed that there is no salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. The fifth thing the Lord loved about the Philadelphian church and this church age is that believers patiently kept on keeping on. I know your works. See, I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength. Yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name, since you have kept my command to endure patiently. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If we keep his command and endure patiently, we will receive our reward. Philippians chapter 2 verses 10 and 11 tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. False religions will acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords unwillingly. What a privilege and pleasure to bow the knee now and willingly acknowledge him before this world. You've probably sung the melody, I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Did you know that song was written about a missionary many years ago? He was in a hostile country and threatened with his life if he did not stop talking about Jesus. A truly Philadelphian believer, he was not intimidated. They offered him vast sums of money to stop preaching about Jesus. Eventually, his enemies brought his son before him. We will kill him right now unless you deny Jesus, they said. He stood firm, and they beheaded his son in front of his eyes. Next, they brought his wife. But still he refused to listen to them. I'd rather have Jesus, he said, before they murdered him. Listen to these beautiful words of the hymn penned by Rhea Miller in 1922. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than worldly applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame, yes. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Do you feel like that? The Lord makes a wonderful promise to this church. He says, I know your deeds. See, I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have a little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Since you have kept my commandment to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. The world has never experienced a universal period of tribulation that affects every human being on this earth. But he says that time of trouble will come. He's talking about the 7-year reign of the Antichrist. This is a wonderful promise about the rapture. Jesus said, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. He promises to keep his faithful church from that time of trouble. The Greek word used means out of. The Lord will keep his faithful believers out of the time of trouble introduced by the Antichrist. Like Noah and his family were saved in the ark from the great flood, so the Lord will snatch up his people from the earth and keep them safe in the ark, the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 1 to 8 tells us about this. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. Do you know that something is restraining the Antichrist from being revealed? Verse 7 tells us, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. That's a promise of the Lord. The Antichrist will be revealed, but the one who's restraining him will do so until he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Matthew 24 says, so you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the very doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Matthew 24, verses 33 to 35. Could we be that last generation? How close are we to the rapture of the church? The signs are all around us. What is the Lord saying to this church? What is he saying to faithful Philadelphian believers? Revelation chapter 3, verse 11, he says, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have, so that no one will take your crown. Faithful Philadelphian believers, the Lord says, keep on keeping on. Don't let anyone take your crown or discourage you from following Jesus. Jesus is coming back again. Revelation begins and ends with the promise of his second coming. Here's the big question. Are you rapture ready? Thank you for sharing this time with me. Please visit my website at valwaldick.com. God bless you.